Good evening, and thanks for having me out here. It's fun to see so many faces that I know, and it's a little intimidating to talk into a room of a bunch of faces I don't know, too. But as intimidating as that is, it's also really exciting to see what God is doing in this place and on this campus, and really all the campuses of Woodbury Lutheran. It's encouraging and exciting to see. It's also encouraging and exciting to share on this this series of cross-examination, where we're looking at the trial of Jesus that ultimately leads to him on the cross. And tonight we're looking at the arrest of Jesus. And as we center in on that part of the story, we're going to see the same thing we see at every other part of this trial. And it's namely that it's marked by unfairness. The wrong guy is being accused and is taking the fall. Like, Jesus is innocent, but he's been treated as guilty. It's upside down, it's backwards, it's chaotic. But we know that our God in that, and despite that, is working salvation for us. And he's also showing us how we should live as his followers at the same time. So we're going to look for those two things. And as we do, it's going to be important tonight for us to pay attention to the struggle for power and the struggle that for control that shows up in all of these different people in the story's life, like how they're lobbying and jockeying for control and for power, and then look at how Jesus responds. So let's do that. Let's start with the mob that is coming to arrest him. And I don't know if my clicker's working. Would you click for me? There we go. All right, so the mob is coming. They're coming at night. There's a bunch of them. They're coming with swords and clubs, and that tells you something about how they feel about Jesus, right? Like, you don't come that way if you think it's going to be a peaceful arrest. They see Jesus as powerful, maybe dangerous. They think there's going to be a fight, and isn't that just the way the world thinks about power and control? Like, if I'm going to have power, if I'm going to have control of a situation, I need to take it. I need to demand it. It's going to come by force. That's how they're viewing control in this situation. They're expecting a fight. They're expecting to have to take it. Jesus is not going to give them that fight, right? But one of his disciples definitely is ready to rumble, and we know that disciple is Peter, thanks to not Matthew's gospel. He doesn't throw him under the bus here, but John is more than happy to name drop there and let us know that that's who it is. So we can talk about it. I wonder if John painted this picture too, because Peter's got a really big head there. I don't think that's probably how he looked. It's kind of hurtful. John's gospel also gives us the name of the high priest slave who gets his ear cut off, and it's Malchus. And I love, as a side note, I love like the person of Malchus, and I am just intrigued by that and wonder what happened to him after this, especially knowing that Jesus healed him as he was arresting him. I wonder what happened to him after that. I love the name Malchus so much that I suggested it for our son, whose name is not Malchus, it's James. It was overruled there, and we're grateful we have a James. But we're not going to go down that rabbit hole. We're going to stick with looking at Peter here. And Peter, he has a classic Peter moment, right? Like, he's always doing, like, the hot-tempered, the impulsive thing. He's just making a choice that just makes you shake your head later. And I don't know where this one ranks on Peter's, like, wall of shame, but I think attacking someone with a sword in front of Jesus has to be something you look back on and be like, what was I thinking, right? Like, it's probably up there on his list. When I look at what Peter does here, though, I think three things right away. The first thing, as someone who has a career of working with young people and youth, I hear Peter arguing that he did nothing wrong in a middle school boy voice. It's like, Jesus, what? What did I do? You said no longer an eye for an eye. You didn't say anything about ears. Like, right? Like, if you've worked with youth or have them in your life, you've maybe met this kid, right? On a little bit more serious note, though, I'm also very grateful. And I give Peter a little grace because my life is not recorded in the pages of the best-selling book of all time, so I'm grateful for that, and if it was, it wouldn't be so good for me. And the third thing, though, is something that kind of surprised me as I was thinking about it. I kind of get what Peter's doing here. I'm surprised that I'm saying that, but it's true, because I'm a lover, I'm not a fighter, but if someone's attacking my friends or my family, you might see a different side of me, right? And this is Jesus. So how could it be the wrong thing necessarily to defend Jesus? Like, he's springing into action. He's being resourceful and using the things he has to control the situation. He's risking his life for it too. But he misses the mark. As noble as it seems, as brave as it might seem, as responsive as it might seem, he misses the mark. And the reason he does that is because his actions aren't in tune with God. Like he's not trusting God in this situation, and he sure isn't looking like Jesus in this situation. So what Jesus says, he says, put away your sword. He says, those who use the sword will die by the sword. And what Jesus is telling Peter here, he's saying, you're trying to control this situation instead of trusting me. You're doing it your way. You're thinking as the world is thinking. You're fighting as the world fights. Peter, I want you instead to trust me. I want you to follow me. Now, those words, they call to us the same way they call to Peter, because we make a lot of the same decisions that Peter does. We act the same way. We probably cut off less ears, right? Unless, like, Mike Tyson snuck in when I wasn't looking. I saw there was a Mike Tyson reference a couple weeks ago, and I was like, ooh, they're not going to expect two Mike Tyson references in one sermon series, but here we are, right? So we don't take off ears, but we do, when things get tough, when things get hard and confusing and challenging, when life feels out of control, our first response isn't usually thinking, what is God doing here? How does God want me to respond, right? Instead, we act impulsively. We look to ourselves for solutions. We react, and we do not look a whole lot like Jesus when we do that. We don't trust Jesus in those moments when life is confusing, when life is hard, when it doesn't make sense, when it's unfair. Like, think about this. Let's be honest. When life feels overwhelming, like, we try and fix it on our own terms. We either work really hard or, like, we find a way to escape that reality. If someone disrespects us or disrespects our family, like, we lock that person in as an enemy, right? And we treat them that way, whether that's to their face or behind their back or online. Like, we go after them. Like, even when somebody has a different idea, a different opinion than us, like, we judge them for them. We mock them for it. Maybe we distance themselves because they're that way and we're this way. Like, when something feels unfair, when it doesn't make sense, we get angry, we throw fits, we shut down. In those moments, Jesus' words to Peter are the same for us. Put away the sword, trust me, follow me, and reflect me to the world around me. Now, we're called to stop fighting for control in those moments. Stop doing it our way. But looking back at our text, everyone in this encounter is fighting for power, fighting to control it in the ways they can, right? Jesus' followers are doing that. Jesus' adversaries are doing that. But Jesus doesn't. Jesus stands down. Jesus tells them, don't you realize that I could ask my Father for thousands of angels to protect us, and he would send them instantly? That's true. Like, this is not the first time people have tried to round Jesus up to kill him and arrest him. It's happened lots of times, and every time he slips away, like, read through the Gospels, it happens a bunch of times. He could have escaped here, but he doesn't. Jesus could have overpowered them. When you read John's account of what happens here, there's a point where they ask him, are you Jesus of Nazareth? And he says, I am he. And he uses that Old Testament name of I am. And at his very words, these guys coming to arrest him are knocked to the ground just by his words. Jesus could have overpowered these people. The thing is, everyone is fighting for power here, and they don't have the power. And the one who holds all the power is laying it down. He's setting it aside. And why is he doing that? Like, why is he choosing that? So that the scriptures might be fulfilled. He's doing it to fulfill the scriptures, to go to the cross, to redeem his people. Like, that's his Father's will, and that is his sole focus here. Like, that's pretty incredible. That's pretty beautiful and powerful. But what makes it more beautiful, more powerful, is the information he has about making that choice. And not just that he knows it's going to be suffering and it's going to be uncomfortable and it's going to cause him to die, but he has the information. He knows who he's choosing this arrest and choosing the cross for. Like, it's a lot like what Julie just talked about. Like, he is choosing to be arrested for the very people who's arresting him, his adversaries, for the people that hate him. He's choosing to be arrested for the people that, like, say they're following him but are just totally still don't get it. He's saying, yes, I'm going to be arrested. I'm choosing that for the people who are going to abandon him the next second. He's choosing to be arrested for those people. And he's choosing to be arrested for us. Because we do the same things. Like we live ways that are opposed to him. Even when we follow him, we mess it up all the time. Like there's parts of our lives where we deny him or don't show him in the way we live. Like we don't show up for him the way he shows up for us. He knows all of that and he still chose the arrest. He still chose the cross for us. Like that's the beautiful, powerful part of this is that he goes to the cross knowing all of that. So as we look at the arrest of Jesus, the chosen arrest of Jesus, the intentional arrest of Jesus with all the information about us, we should be all the more assured and confident of who we are in him. Like that our identity is as loved, forgiven people. Like that is who we are. That's what we get to claim. He did it because he knew full on what he was doing. That's when he said, I love you. That's when he said, I'm going to go to the cross for you. And because of that, we should put that identity on more and more every day. We should step into it and become more like him. In all situations, we should trust that he's in control. We look to him for leadership. We respond in ways that reflect him to the world around us. And this is even, if not especially, in those moments when life doesn't make sense, when it's hard, when it's unfair. Those are the times where we claim what he's done for us and ask him to lead us. Because the one we follow, he holds all the power. He holds all the control. He won the victory for us even when he gave up his power. And he won that victory for us so that we can live as free people, as we can live as forgiven people. Like that's what he did for us on the cross. So the encouragement as we look at the arrest of Jesus tonight is to lay down our swords, to not think like the world thinks, to not fight like the world thinks when we want to, but rather to trust him and let us lead him. Let him lead us in all things. So we're all in very different spots and have very different stuff on our hearts right now, whether it's scary, it's hard, it's overwhelm, it's abandoned, whatever that is, that call is to us. Remember who we are as a people and to live it out in those moments. Amen. All right, let's pray. God, we thank you so much for your love for us that doesn't make sense, that said yes to us, that chose us even amidst all the ways we get it wrong, all the ways we go against you and try to do it our way and try and fight as the world fights. You chose us, you loved us in that. So God, help us to be grateful for that, to be remembering that, and to lean on that and let it lead us. Help us to trust you and to reflect your goodness, your forgiveness, and your kindness to the world around us, even in spots where life doesn't make sense. You hold all things, and we love you, and we're grateful for that. So let us live as changed people. Amen.